Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. Welcome. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkomelemen Squamish-speaking peoples. I'm Jesse. Welcome to July. It's my first show of the month, and a bunch of different stuff for you this hour as we keep marching forward through the months. Hope you're having a good day. What are we going to get to today? We've got a piece from Danny. We've got the keynote address from Robin that I teased last week but did not make it to. That's right. We're actually going to make it to it this week. And maybe one of Senya's interviews. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We are, of course, as usual, going to start with some local music. And this week, something new from the band Yawn, who is the project of Julia, who has been on my other show, the Vancouver Mixtape. She brought a, what's it called? It'll come back to me, don't worry. An instrument by Critter and Guitari that I can't remember the specific name of because I've got a bunch. A cool little synthesizer in it, blew my mind. Maybe that's what lit the fire of wanting to have synthesizers in me. Who knows? Anyway, her project Yawn has a new record out called Wish I Could've. That's super great. Breezy dream pop. And so we're going to start with that. This by Yawn from the new record Wish I Could've is Colored Lights. The instrument was an organelle, by the way.
Watching me go from the edge of the room and the color light.
lights pass as it stops on you.
Lines by Jan from the new record Wish I Could Have. Some local music here for you on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse, and now this report from our very own community journalist, Danny Nesvedarani.
This is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. TransLink, the transportation agency of Metro Vancouver, recently announced a collaboration with a local business in Port Coquitlam, BC. This local business is Patina Brewing, a brewing company that has partnered with TransLink to release a public transit-themed craft beer, aptly titled the Platform Pilsner. A novel collaboration, but one that TransLink hopes is able to inspire other unique collaborations with local businesses throughout Metro Vancouver. To learn more about why TransLink decided on this collaboration with Patina Brewing, we spoke with John Jang, TransLink's media relations advisor. When we asked why TransLink decided to go into this direction, here's what he had to say.
It's a really, really good question. So first of all, you know, TransLink as an organization, we're always trying to think of new ways, creative ways to generate a little bit of revenue that doesn't involve us having to increase the fares for customers. And with that in mind, our CP&P team, which is our corporate partnerships and program team, they essentially are tasked with coming up with creative ways to find other organizations, businesses, or opportunities to find these revenue streams. As another example, I'll mention that we introduced Amazon lockers on TransLink SkyTrain stations and transit hubs a couple of years back, again, to also realize that customers could use this as a benefit. When you're working and going to school, you want to pick up a package along the way home. It's really convenient to do it right at your SkyTrain station or transit hub. So they kind of came to us and said, hey, we have this idea of a partnership with Patina, and we think it'd be a really great way to do it. And I just immediately thought, well, that seems like an excellent idea. Let's see what we can do. And so we were able to partner with Patina and license the intellectual property for TransLink and kind of work together to create the Platform Pilsner. It's, I think, the first of its kind program, not just in Canada, but possibly in North America, when you think about a transit agency doing something like this. So we were really proud of the fact that it's kind of progressive. And come on, let's be real. Metro Vancouver is known for a lot of different things, including a very strong craft beer scene.
Later on, we asked him if this collaboration opens the door for other TransLink-themed products, whether that be a TransLink sneaker or any other array of TransLink food items or specialty drinks like the one that's seen in this collaboration with Patina Brewing?
You know what? I guess never say never. I don't know that anything is in the works for a TransLink sneaker, though that would be a pretty cool idea. Obviously, if a sneaker head is listening right now, I'm sure they'd love that. But for us, again, it's just trying to find creative ways to generate a little bit of that revenue. So the Amazon partnership with the lockers, again, being a really good example of us doing something like that. Obviously, it's not like a TransLink locker. It's still an Amazon branded locker. Amazon is the one that provides those lockers. We just give them the space and the lease to do it. But it gives us a little bit of money where if we hadn't done that partnership, we wouldn't be getting that money. And all of that money still goes to support and fund operational services across Metro Vancouver. So, you know, I think if you've got other brilliant ideas like TransLink sneakers, TransLink snacks, food, nothing is off the table as long as it makes sense for us as an organization, for our customers, and also for the organizations that we'd be partnering with.
We then went on to ask if this project came from a desire from TransLink to diversify its revenue streams.
Yeah, I think it 100% was. Our CP&P team, you know, their task is to be creative and think outside the box and find ways to generate that revenue. But all of that is still because we need to find ways to make sure that our operating funding is strong and flush. Now, obviously, a large bulk of that still comes through partnerships and funding that we receive from government partners. And we've got many different teams that are constantly working with partners at every level of government to get that kind of funding so that we don't have to worry about, you know, reducing services or anything of that nature. Thankfully, our 2025 investment plan was secured this year, where we can feel pretty good about it over the next couple of years. But trying to find new ways to get that revenue. TransLink, again, is getting into real estate development, right? So that's another creative way that we're doing this and looking at other transit agencies around the world that have done this and looking at it and thinking that's a model that we could emulate here in Metro Vancouver. So it's basically the task of having to come up with all these different creative ways to generate a little bit of revenue. And I would say, like, there's never too little. Like, any bit that we can get through programs like the collaboration with Patina Brewing, it just goes to help everyone, whether it's us having to keep the services or the customers who depend on having those services every single day.
We then discussed whether TransLink hopes that this collaboration inspires other public transit providers to collaborate with local businesses in their communities.
Yeah, you know, I can't say with certainty that other transit agencies will exactly follow suit, but they might at least be inspired by, like, the model, like allowing transit agencies to permit the use of their intellectual property and working with local businesses. It doesn't necessarily have to be craft beer. It might not even be beer at all. It might be other products. I don't know for certain. But I do think that the transit industry is a very tight-knit community. And so what happens in Metro Vancouver with TransLink, for example, is definitely viewed and observed by transit agencies, not just across Canada, but across North America and around the world. And so we know that if there are conversations happening, maybe somebody picks up a phone or writes an email and reaches out to someone at TransLink and says, hey, like, tell us a little bit more about how you guys got into this, because we're thinking about doing it in, like, I don't know, Berlin, or maybe in some places in Hong Kong. Like, we don't know. But I hope we have had that impact with this project. We do know that it's progressive. We know that it's raised a lot of eyebrows, not just from people living in Metro Vancouver, but across the country. And I think that's what makes this such a unique story for TransLink. We didn't just do this because we wanted to get our names out there for the purpose of being, like, the first of its kind. We also wanted to support a local business with Patina, a great local community brewery in Port Coquitlam. And especially now, during a time where obviously a lot of things are happening politically, economic uncertainty is felt by every Canadian right now. And so that also played a big role into it too. So if other organizations and other agencies want to kind of follow the TransLink model here, we hope they do so with the mindset of wanting to support their local communities as well.
Once again, that was our conversation with John Jang, the media relations advisor for TransLink, on the company's new collaboration with Patina Brewing for the Platform Pilsner. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. This segment would not be possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
Hallucination here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. It's Canadian Destroyer featuring Northern Cree from their new Path of the Babyface EP, which is great. Also includes a track that features Brett the Hitman Hart and a bunch of other stuff. So you can check that out. We're here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. Prior to the hallucination, we heard a report from our very own community journalist Danny Nesvedrani about a new collaboration between TransLink and a local brewery, Patna Brewing, which is pretty cool. John Jang, who you heard there, I went to radio broadcast school with, so that's also kind of fun. It all comes together. And speaking of radio broadcasting and things coming together, last week I mentioned that I had been at the National Campus Community Radio Conference, the NCRC, in Nanaimo, the previous week, along with the aforementioned Danny, as well as our music director Connor, Corey, and Rebecca, and Michelle, all CJSFers who showed up for summer all of the conference. And on the last day, our former programming coordinator, Robin Erickson, was honored with what used to be called sort of the Community Radio Legend Award, but now is just an honoring. But myself and Freya Zaltz, who is the NCRA's sort of legal expert, compliance expert, and former programming coordinator right here at CJSF way a long time ago. Her and I had the absolute pleasure of introducing Robin and surprising her a little bit. She knew she was going to be speaking, but she didn't know that this was the thing. So I've cut out our intro And hopefully also cut out the bit where Robin swears at me for surprising her. And I'm now going to share with you her talk because it's really, really great. it really resonates with what we do here at CJSF and is maybe a good experience for you if you're curious about who we are and why we do the things we do and what our philosophy is. And I think even if you're not involved in radio, there's a lot in Robin's talk, speech, words that will resonate with you. So we're going to just jump right into that right now.
When I left the house today, I thought, oh, I didn't put a hanky in my pocket, which I always have. I am a bit speechless, partly because I was lied to. I was invited to share a few words, offer some anecdotes about my 21 years in the sector, and so I took that at face value. And I wrote a little speech. And it's amazing how, you know, when I stand up here, I can't see any of you. So it kind of is like radio, where you're just like a black box out there. But those first few shows, first few years shows on the radio where my knees shook all the time, that's exactly how I feel right now. Oh, holy smokes. Let's all breathe together, shall we? Like, just take a breath. Yeah. All right. This last day is always such an amazing experience, you know, to have come through a conference together and feel so inspired and, you know, celebrate the amazing things that we're able to do as community radio. And, you know, as I said, I was invited to share some of my experiences over the last 21 years in the sector. And I really sat with that for a long time because I've learned a lot. And most of it is not glamorous. A lot of it came with dead air, static, came a god ungodly hours with no coffee and a lot of times no manual. And a lot of it also came through the voices of people that I'll never meet or see again. But I don't really need to tell you what community radio is, because you are it. You are it. We are it. We are the living legacy, or we are the living embodiment of this legacy. And so I want to tell you this instead. I know when I found the right station. I don't need numbers. I don't need the frequency. I just listen. I listen for that thing that doesn't sound like anything else on the dial. I listen for that thing that sounds like it's breathing. That's the way I always find community radio. It's the one that's breathing. It's weird, it's wondrous, it's got untidy edges. And it's the one that reminds me that joy doesn't always look right, and that truth doesn't always speak clearly, And the dissonance might be trying to tell me something holy. Community radio knows this. There are no perfect voices here. And it's sort of trained my ear to really hear those identical cadences. And we all know the ones. They sort of remind me of plastic fruit in that smooth quality, fakeness. But they're a bit frightening. They're a lot frightening. And I used to think that I needed to sound that way, like everybody else. And now I think that the most serious thing that I can do is sound differently. Because I really believe that our voice is like a vocal fingerprint. It's so unique to us. A couple months ago, I was at a conference and I heard a fellow speak. He considers himself a feral philosopher, which I love, and lives in the Canadian Wildback, somewhere in Ontario. Layman Pascal is his name. And he said, strange times demand strangers. And that really landed with me. And I've been obsessed by this idea ever since. And I honestly think it's more exciting to explore than any anecdotes that I have to share. So strange times demand strangers? What the heck? But this is how it lands for me. When the world stops making sense, which I think we can pretty much all agree, it's a dumpster fire. Right? Yeah. We don't need more sense. What we need is someone who can hold nonsense gently and reverently. We need a stranger. Stranger is defined as a person at a place, a guest, visitor, or intruder, one who is not privy, one who interferes without right. I don't know about you, but I've felt that way, like a visitor in places that didn't expect me. And obviously, I don't walk through the world as a stranger all the time. I know that. And at face value, I'm not the voice left out of the broadcast. But community radio at its best has consistently offered voices that I might have otherwise missed. For some, being a stranger isn't quirky, it's risky. And yet community radio, those voices have always found a way to leak through the cracks. And thank God they have, did, and do. And that's really what I want to honor tonight. I saw a graph fairly recently, and it was a demonstration of museum artifacts over 70 some years, showing how color is disappearing from our world and that we're living in gray, beige, neutral, optimized, efficient times. But I remember magenta and I remember peculiarities. I remember cassette tapes and carts that whirled and hissed. I remember hosts crying on the air without apology. And if I'm honest, I've been that host. Crying on the air when something really hit my heart. And I remember tuning in religiously to someone that I've never met before.